You're listening to the North Canton Chapel Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. The North Canton Chapel exists to make much of Jesus every day to everyone. It's our prayer that this podcast will equip you to do just that. We believe that there's nothing like the church united together in gospel community. We'd love if you'd stop in and say hello in person if you're in our neighborhood. Our gathering times are at 9 and 10:30 a.m. Thank you again for joining us today. Let's listen in.
Good morning, everybody. Man, this has been a great weekend. A really good weekend. I am Nathaniel. I'm a pastor from out in the Boise area, and I run a nonprofit called In Hope that's dedicated to strengthening unity in the body of Christ. More importantly, you may have seen me walking around with my friend here. This is my friend Hip Hop. If you saw me with my jacket on, he rides right here over my chest. And it's not because I have hip hop in my heart or anything like that. I'm not that cool. But this is my daughter's toy. She always, anytime I leave town, she sends one of her friends with me. And then I send back pictures for her with hip hop. And we've been doing that for as long as I can remember, for as long as she's been able to realize when dad's out of town. So my family, we have a slide up there, right there in that big picture in the middle. That is my forever girlfriend, my bride, my mi amor, my Lily. She is the precious and best part of my life. And she is the reason people keep me around. I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but I show up somewhere and, you know, I'll be greeted warmly like, hey, how's it going? Where's Christina? Like, that's the first question. Where's Christina? I know that they just keep me around, so she'll show up and they can talk with her. And then we have two beautiful daughters. The older one there is Aria, hiding in the snow that she dug out in her front yard. And this is her friend, Hip Hop. And we call her our winding river. Sometimes, you know, rivers can get a little crazy, but a lot of times they're smooth, they're calm. You have this this sense of serenity and kind of peace. So there's this calming thing about the running water, right? And then we have the little one who we call our raging sea. That is Avery. And as you can see, she's over there riding our dogs. Our dogs over there are Bilbo, like Bilbo Baggins, and Coda. We didn't get to name him, so I often will call him Yoda instead of Coda. And my wife doesn't let me get away with it too much, but every now and again, I'll slip it in. But that is my beautiful family. And this weekend, we have been having these great conversations and being able to get into this great topic of unity, this call to unity that God gives us, talking about what that is, who it's for, and what that's like, and being able to see how God gives us this beautiful call from the beginning, all the way from the start. He sets mankind aside as this beautiful capstone in creation, giving us his image so that we can know him and be like him in a special way. And we're going to be looking in today. We've been walking through Ephesians because Ephesians gives a lot of emphasis to this beautiful call. And we're going to be looking at Ephesians 4 today. But before we do that, I'm going to kind of give us a catch up over the last couple things we've talked about the last couple of nights. And it started off with this big takeaway, this idea that, look, God has called us. He has made this his plan to unite all things in Christ. To unite all things in him. This beautiful plan that we're invited into in a special way because we're his image bearers and we can reflect him and have relationship with him like others can't. And you see, unfortunately, that at the start in Genesis, we go from this beautiful picture of being in unity and walking with God and with creation, and we decide to listen to someone else's words over God's words for us. And in doing that, we turn to someone else's words and we turn away from God's words, from the life giver's words, and we end up falling away in sin. And so we go from being blessed and holy, set apart by God, to being cursed and common. Being just like everyone else, everything else in this world. And we see that in that, God makes a plan to bring us back to that place of unity with him and unity with one another. And it goes through the cross. It goes through what Jesus did for us. And so we talked about what it meant to be blessed and holy. To be blessed was to have this well word spoken over us, right? And to have this word, not just spoken and think, oh yeah, you know, that's nice. He called me cute. You know, he calls me pretty. That's cool. He says he loves me. But realizing, look, this is so powerful because the same God who spoke and the world was made, the universe, the heavens came into being, the same God who spoke and then Abraham and Sarah, who are near 100 years old, have a baby, the same God who spoke and then Peter walks on water, the same God who spoke and then Lazarus raises from the grave, he speaks these well things over your life, these good things. And so you have these well words. And then we looked at what it meant to be holy, to be set apart, not like the rest of the world, right? And some of these blessings that God speaks of, that so that we're not being common, right? Not being like the rest of the world. Because the thing is that all of us have decided in some way to listen to others' words over God's words. We have sinned and we have turned away from him. And in doing so, we begin to walk down this path that he goes into in Ephesians chapter 2 and 3. And he talks to us in pretty harsh terms. Like it's hard to swallow, but he talks about how, look, you're dead. You're spiritually dead in sin. You are cut off, separated from God. And there's this list of different attributes that are given to those who are not walking with him and those who are walking with him. And we see that they're dead in sin. That when we're not with him, we're following the world. We're following Satan. We're children of disobedience and wrath. We're led by the passions of our flesh, the passions of our mind and our bodies. And we are like the rest of mankind until we turn to him. Until we turn to him and he does this amazing thing in making us brand new. He gives us life in Christ. He sets us in heavenly places. He helps us to follow Jesus, to be a child of God, to be led by the will of God, to be holy, set apart for his purpose, set apart by him and for him. And when Paul goes through all of these different things, sharing with the Ephesians these amazing blessings that we have, that we get from being in relationship with him, he goes through in Ephesians 1-3, sharing all of these different things. And then he comes up to this point where he talks about us being, he's talked about us being new, being made new in this way. He's talked about us having this new team, right? Because we're not only made new, but now we're placed into a new family. We have this new team that we get to work with on this goal of knowing him and making him known, of making much of Jesus because he's done much for us, right? And we get a new promise. This new promise that in Ephesians 3:6, they call it the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel. And it's this new way of living, all these great blessings that we can take a hold of, and this a whole new aspect, a whole new level at which we can live, and things that we can aspire and live towards and live for that's so much greater than the things that divide us in this world. And Paul turns the page, sharing all of this, and he tells the Ephesians something, and it's the same thing I'm going to say today. With all of these blessings, this amazing call that God puts on us, the amazing places that he brings us from, and the things that he calls us to, walk worthy. Walk worthy. In Ephesians 4, he says, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, with patience. Bearing with one another in love. I love that he uses the word bearing. He's letting us, look, I know it's difficult. Bearing with one another in love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We're going to look at this passage and just focus in on a couple parts. We're going to keep it simple. We're going to keep it real simple. I like to tell people, it's something you can't be around me long without hearing me say, especially if we get into the type of conversations I like to get into, where we're talking about God and we're talking about the Bible and how it interacts with our life. I always end up saying, Christianity is simple. Think about it. I mean, it's one of those things that can be summed up into the phrases of love God and love people. When Jesus called the disciples, it wasn't this big list of things they needed to understand. It was follow me. Follow me. Do what I do. Become like me. But I always say it's simple. You don't need a deep theological degree. You don't need decipher this complex thing, but it's difficult. Christianity is the simplest, most difficult thing you will encounter in your life. Bearing with one another in love. Especially those of us who have lived a while and, we've had a beautiful marriage. We understand that it's not always easy to love the way that we ought to love. It can be simple, but it's difficult. And so he talks about this idea of being eager to maintain. Eager. Being eager to maintain the unity. Being one with the body and being one with the head. This is what it means to walk worthy. To do these three things. Being eager to maintain, to be one with the body, being one with the head. I don't know about you guys, but I get images that come to my mind when I think about this idea of being eager about something. And there's this word that's used in the Greek, spoudazo, and it talks about, and that's what's used here in this phrase. It's also used when a lot of times the root of it is used when it's talking about being zealous in scripture. And it talks about being diligent, making every effort, striving with urgency and commitment towards this goal, towards this aim of walking in unity with one another, bearing with one another in love. Romans 12, there is this passage where in Romans 12, it's one of my favorite chapters. If you read that chapter again, there's this beautiful theme of unity woven throughout it. Paul talks about this a lot. And he says, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. In the midst of this, he's talking about how we're one body. He talks about being patient, right? He talks about honoring one another above yourself, seeking to outdo one another and showing honor. How amazing, how different would the world be if we were always seeking to outdo one another and showing honor? Just think about that. Just hold on to that. If we were actually trying to honor one another in our interactions, seeking to outdo one another. And you get that in Romans 12, but then there's also this passage in Titus 3:10. This is what we don't want. In Titus 3:10, he's mentioning how warn a divisive person. He says, warn them once and twice. And after that, have nothing to do with him. Because a divisive person, he says they're contorted. They're leading themselves to destruction. And it's unfortunate because sometimes I feel like you have this dichotomy that we try to step in the middle of. It's like, well, I'm not dividing, right? I'm not that person. I'm not that one who's over here stirring up rumors and division. But in Proverbs, there's this Proverbs who says, but a slothful person, someone who's lazy, is a brother to him who destroys. And so you have this idea of, okay, well, I can be in the middle and kind of do nothing about it. And then here comes that proverb, it just kind of pushes you over to this side of being on the side of destruction versus, no, we're going to be eager. We're going to be zealous about this. We're going to seek to outdo one another and showing honor. We're going to be committed and with urgency, right? And with this, we see the image that comes to my mind the best is Daniel. That's the one that keeps coming to my mind. Anybody know Daniel? You know what I'm talking about when I say Daniel? Somebody shout it out. Who's Daniel? Huh? That kid. That's not that Daniel. Not that Daniel. He's what comes to your guys' mind when you're like, that's somebody who's eager. That's someone who's jealous. Or not jealous. zealous. right? Nah, Daniel. Who knows what I'm talking about when I say Daniel? Come on. Shout it out. The lion's den, right? The lion's den. No, not Daniel, the lion's den. Maybe if I say it like this, Daniel's son, yeah, somebody knows. Somebody knows Daniel's son, right? From Karate Kid. Wax on, wax off, right? He was eager to learn karate from Mr. Miyagi. So much so that he put him through this litany of chores. And even when he saw no way of how this was going to help him, he did not understand. He followed suit. He stuck with it. And then when he did understand, he took things up a notch, right? But he did the job and he did it well. He pushed through and he persevered. And that's the image I often get the image of people who are in athletics, right? Going hard after things. That's the image that I get because they are making every effort. There's this urgency, this diligence, this commitment. And that's what we're called to when it comes to being in unity with one another. These, when you get that, when you grab a hold of that, these next two points, being one with the body, being one with the head, it just makes sense. It falls right into place. Being one with the body, Paul has another very popular passage with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right? Where he's talking about how we're all members of the body. And he says how if one member suffers, we all suffer. That is a good thermometer. Does it hurt you when your brother or sister in Christ are hurting? Does it bring you joy when they're succeeding? Do you rejoice with them? If we are eager to maintain that unity, if we're bearing with each other in love, we're seeking to outdo one another with honor, our hearts will end up rejoicing with them, or we'll be in that place of hurt with them. And man, that can be hard. That can be hard. But Christianity, simple, it's difficult. Love takes strength. Unity takes strength. And a strength beyond what we can do. We have to lean in to the strength that God gives. Being one with the body. And what's interesting is that with that body, what happens to a finger if it's cut off? Say what? What happens to a finger when it's cut off? It dies, right? When it's separated from the rest of the body, it's not going to function properly. It's not going to live. And somehow, some way, we often think that I can just do this thing, just me and God. Me and my relationship with God is me and my relationship with God. But to be one with the head, you have to be one with the body. You can't just be a finger off on your own. And how silly would it look if we took off a finger and we said, you know what? It's just gonna be me and God, me and the head. And then we put the finger right up here. How silly is that gonna look? How well is this finger going to operate and do what it's intended to do? Maybe over here, right? Just like a little ear finger put in, right? You have to be attached to the body. You have to be in communication with the body. If your finger's on, but it's restricted and it's cutting that blood flow and that communication, it's not working with the rest of the body, then usually it'll get weak. It'll become more susceptible to hurt and harm. And you're hindering what the body can do. And then we look at being one with the head. Ephesians 5 gives this beautiful picture of this. Being one with the head. In Ephesians 5, says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. A little farther down in verse 28, it says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a mystery. This mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. There's this one saying that I love. When it comes to my wife, What you say, what you do to her, you're saying and you're doing to me. She's not just my wife. She's not just mine. She is me. She's me. And that's what we're seeing here. A husband should love their wives as their own body. And I don't think it's too crazy, too far to go that way, because I'm telling you, Jesus does the exact same thing. Think about this. When he says, what you do to the least of these, you've done to who? To me. Not my people. To me. When he is talking with Paul, Saul at the time, because he's getting out of hand, and he's on a road trip, and so he just boots him off a horse. He says, Saul, Saul, dude, come on, man, what are you doing to these poor people? They're just trying to follow me. What are you doing to them? Why are you persecuting them? Is that what he says? No. Why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? How much more could we honor and live in unity and love with one another if when we look at a brother and sister, we realize that's Christ's body? What I say to them, what comes out of my mouth, what I'm whispering, what I'm doing for them or not doing for them, I am not doing that for Christ. I am doing that to Christ. They're not just mine. They're me. I've been closing each of the services with a prayer from Ephesians. We're talking about these good words that God speaks over us. And there's these beautiful prayers in here that as Paul's going through and he's sharing these things, he prays these things over the Ephesians. But today I'm going to jump out of the book of Ephesians. Because in staying in line with this theme, Jesus has a prayer. Probably one of the most beautiful and profound prayers you'll find in Scripture. Because this is the one place where you can look and you can say, Jesus prayed that for me. He was praying this over me. And that's in John chapter 17, starting in verse 20. It says this, and I'm gonna read this. Like I said, I've been praying these things, I've just been reading them as a prayer over the students. And I want you to know today that as we're reading this, you can close your eyes and listen to this. And know this is what Jesus is praying over you. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. Ones who believe through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you loved me. Worship team is going to take us into one more song. And I want us to think about these words.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the North Canton Chapel Podcast. If this ministry has blessed you in any way, please share this episode with your friends or spread the word on social media. If you subscribe and leave a 5-star review, it goes a long way to helping us make much of Jesus every day to everyone who hears these podcast episodes. You can also donate to this ministry at ncchapel.com/give. Thanks again for joining us. May you go out into your places and spaces, making much of Jesus every day to everyone.